Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump Thursday said he's granting a one-month tariff pause to a range of Mexican and Canadian goods just days after imposing 25% tariffs on imports from the two neighboring nations. That from the Business Insider. They report Trump announced a one-month pause for some Mexican goods on Truth Social after some uncertainty. He later granted Canada a reprieve as well. We head next to Alabama, where faith leaders are raising concerns about what they see as an overreach of executive power. They're urging the state's congressional delegation to assert its constitutional role as a check on the White House.
In a letter this week, they argue that Congress isn't doing enough to hold the Trump administration accountable for decisions they believe could weaken ethical governance, reduce public services, and expose citizens' data. Daniel Swartz, who leads Faith in Action Alabama, says faith communities have long played a role in holding those in power accountable.
We are urging Congress, Republicans and Democrats, to honor that constitutional reality, which requires them to be a check and balance to the executive branch.
Swartz says the letter, signed by more than 200 leaders of faith communities, was sent to the Alabama delegation. Shantia Hudson reporting.
The group is also concerned about politics affecting undocumented people, as well as deep cuts proposed for Medicaid, which serves more than 1 in 4 Alabama residents. And a Mississippi judge has ruled the state legislature there is not a public body under the state's Open Meetings Act, a decision that allows lawmakers to hold secret caucus meetings.
The decision comes after the Mississippi Free Press sued to open these meetings to the public in the name of transparency. The case originated when the nonprofit paper filed an ethics complaint after one of its reporters, Nick Juden, was barred from attending a closed Republican caucus meeting in the House of Representatives. The paper's editor and CEO, Donna Ladd, calls the ruling a blow to open government.
To me, it's a technicality that allows them, when they want to get around the idea of public transparency. So it's kind of status quo. And especially in a state where, I mean, let's just be honest, much of Mississippi's history has been one party rule one way or the other.
In the ruling, the judge stated the Open Meetings Act applies only to executive and administrative bodies. I'm Tremel Gomes.
And as new federal policies and proposed funding cuts spark confusion and chaos, Wisconsinites are looking to voice their concerns to their elected officials, and some are being met with resistance. $2 trillion in spending cuts for programs that serve low-income families, seniors, kids, and people with disabilities are being proposed in the Congress. Every Republican lawmaker from Wisconsin in the House voted for the budget resolution. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin.
The campaign arm of House Republicans are encouraging members to not hold these meetings, which I think tells you just how much energy there is around these issues.
This is Public News Service. A bill pending in the West Virginia legislature would increase the length of penalties for serious felony convictions, but critics say it would contribute to prison overpopulation.
The House of Delegates has yet to consider the measure. Kenneth Matthews, an economic justice associate with the American Friends Service Committee, says extending the minimum time prisoners must serve before a parole hearing would pack the prisons with more inmates waiting for conditional release.
Increase in penalties for offenses will create an increase in the prison population that's already overpopulated and create an increase in the aging population in the state, which is also overpopulated.
West Virginia's overall jail population in 2024 was about 11,000, with an incarceration rate of 674 per 100,000 residents, considerably higher than the national average of 614. I'm Mark Richardson.
And this is National Consumer Protection Week. The Arizona PERG Education Fund wants people to think about what they can do to protect their valuable documents, both physically and digitally.
The group is offering a new guide to help. Consumer Privacy Director R.J. Cross says it's smart to disaster-proof documents in case of an emergency like a wildfire or flood. She points out that now is the time to make a plan so you can save yourself a headache down the line.
Having digital copies of sometimes your social security number or if having your birth certificate can make it easier for you to navigate the process of those insurance claims and the process of getting replacement hard copies if you're in that situation.
She adds when deciding to store documents online in the cloud, it's a matter of determining the right combination of security and convenience. She recommends using a cloud service that offers what's known as end-to-end encryption. The guide is online at perg.org/resources. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Finally, our Joey Lurie lets us know Indiana Governor Mike Braun issued 2 executive orders
restricting state funds from promoting gender identity, and banning transgender women from women's college sports.
One order directs the Indiana Commission for Higher Education to enforce a 2020 Title IX rule, not a 2024 rule, ensuring transgender women cannot compete in women's sports. A review in 2026 will assess compliance among Indiana colleges. Braun's orders follow President Donald Trump's February executive order barring transgender athletes from girls and women's sports.
This is crafted to be maybe similar to it, crafted by us to address our point of view here in Indiana.
Trump's 2024 campaign promise to keep men out of women's sports gained broad support.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.